Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over here at Strange Brew Coffeehouse in Starkville or at Brewpolo over in Tupelo. If you're in Starkville or Tupelo, you know where to go, but anywhere else, it's strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning right at home. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. You're cooking out this weekend. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Looking like it's going to be a little rainy this weekend. By the way, let's go ahead and get ahead of this. I've seen the forecast. I know it's going to probably rain a little this weekend. When I know, you'll know. When I know, you'll know. You know what I'm saying. You know, we're all on the same page. So if you can't cook out, if it's raining and you can't cook out, well, then go get a steak at one of our awesome steakhouses all over the state of Mississippi. They're everywhere, from South Haven to Biloxi and all points in between. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, all of the styles that you're looking for, the name brands, and most importantly, the logos. If you want the state script, the interlocking, the M over S, they've got it all at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, then you need to talk to the people at Priority One Bank, bankers who are going to treat you with respect, bankers who know you by name, not just by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We'll talk to Coach Brian O'Connor in just a few minutes after his team sweeps the Ole Miss Rebels, now back into the top five, number five in Baseball America, number four in the D1 baseball poll. The Baseball America poll will set up a top five matchup between Mississippi State and Georgia this weekend. We'll get Coach O'Connor's thoughts a little bit on that. But I'm going to go into what I talked to him about first with you guys, and that's mentality. And I've watched this team now. We're kind of at the halfway point of the season, right? You're 28 games in. State plays 55 regular season games. I'm still not sure why it's only 55. And they never gave a regular explanation for that. But I've just been impressed with this team's mentality. It would be really easy for them to have given away a midweek game the way almost everybody in the SEC has. In fact, I think Mississippi State is the only team that doesn't have a midweek or what we would call a nonsensical non-conference loss, right? State's four losses are to the number one team in the nation, UCLA, to the current number eight team in the nation, Southern Mississippi, and to the number 17 team in the nation as of today, I believe in the D1 poll, Arkansas. They lost twice, and three of those losses are on the road, one's at a neutral site. They are undefeated at home, and they don't have a single loss like Ole Miss losing to Memphis or Texas losing to Tarleton or Arkansas losing to Arkansas State or I forget who it was. High Point is the team that beat Florida. You see what I'm getting at. Everybody has these losses except for Mississippi State. And just looking at within this weekend, how many things stood out to me that were about mentality? You have the lead on Friday, you give it away. But you have the mentality and the wherewithal to come back in the ninth inning and get the job done. On Saturday and Sunday, we talked to Valinkas and Stone after the game, and both of them were free to admit, like, I did not have my best stuff today. But they gritted through five innings, six innings, and they did what they had to do, and they both left with the lead. I think about Sean James sitting on the bench there on a cold as hell Friday night in Oxford, and then when his number's called, he delivers and gets you a base hit and wins the game for you. I think about Ben Davis giving that game away on Friday, and then they go back to him on Sunday, and he got in trouble a couple times, but he was able to get out of it. And that's something this team has done a lot. They get into jams it's almost like they pitch better when there are guys on base sometimes. When I look at the way Jack Gleason pitches, Davis, the way he pitched the other night, it's kind of interesting, but it's a mentality thing for these teams, for this team in particular. And as we think back to great Mississippi State teams in the past, when we think about, you know, Jake Mangum, Tanner Allen, if you want to go back further to guys like, in 2013 with Adam Frazier and Hunter Renfroe, if you want to go back further into like the 90s with teams like, you know, like with Brad Freeman and Brooks Bryan and Richard Lee and those guys, Jeremy Jackson, Eric Dubose. Derek Dubose would be a great example. Think about the mentality it took to come back and pitch on short rest to win that game in 1997. The best teams, and I, you know, this is what I ask O'Connor, you know, the best teams have that mentality. They have the ability to almost compartmentalize each game. And they don't look at, coaches talk all the time about, well, we don't look ahead and we're one game at a time. And sometimes that's a cliche. Sometimes that's just, for lack of a better word, BS, right? But with this team, you look at the way they've played, especially in the midweek, and I know saying I don't think they're going to lose to Grambling, but you know we'll see what the rest of the season brings. But I think they've played. Look at what they've done in the midweek this year. They've played some decent teams in there. Austin Peay, Troy, Southern Mississippi. These are decent teams, right? 13 runs on Troy, 19 runs on Alcorn. Go ahead to the midweek the next week. 16 runs on Austin Peay. You lose to Southern Miss 6-7, but you, I couldn't help it. But you know, you're able to hit the ball in that game. You play Tulane, 11 runs in that game. Jackson State, 17 runs in that game. Southern Miss this past week, 12 runs. I mean, it's not going to surprise me. It shouldn't surprise you when they score double digit runs tomorrow. They're taking these teams that, you know, in baseball, you can lose to these teams if you mess around. And not only are they beating them, they're pulverizing them. Now, they have one midweek loss, and it's to Southern Mississippi, who is a top 10 team in their home stadium. That's really impressive, and it speaks to the way that this team is led, the way this team is coached, and the way this team plays the game of baseball. State now up to 5 in the RPI. 4 wins last week over, at the time, top 10 teams. Ole Miss down to 14 in the RPI. Where is Southern Miss? Southern Miss is down to 9 in the RPI. They were as high as, I think they were 3rd last week when Mississippi State played them. Looking at the RPI, and we're at the point in the season where you can start looking at RPI, and it's starting to feel right. Like, Missouri State is still 11th in the RPI. I give that another week. Other than that, the top 20 are all power teams, or are teams you would expect to see in postseason play. I mean, if you don't want to call Southern Miss a power team, that's on you. In baseball, they are absolutely a power team. They go to the postseason with regularity. They win games in the postseason regularly. State is 5th in the RPI. Texas 1st, who State plays. Florida 2nd. I mean, sweeping 3 games on the road like that will do that for you. That's why Mississippi State's doing so well. UCLA 3rd. It's kind of surprising to see Auburn at 4th. Now, they've played a lot of tough games. All of their losses are quad one losses, as are Mississippi State. All 4 of State's losses are quad one losses. But Auburn's lost, 5 conference games in a row, and really it should have been 6. They had no business beating Texas on a Friday night a couple years ago. State tied for 1st in the SEC with Texas and Georgia, so whoever wins this weekend will have a little leg up in the quest to win the conference championship. I don't know who Texas plays this week. Oh, they're at South Carolina, so they're going to sweep. So Texas, if we're being honest with ourselves, Texas looking ahead is probably going to be alone in 1st place, because I would imagine the winner of the State-Georgia series, and if you made me predict right now, I would say State at home, but they probably take 2 out of 3, and so you might be a game behind. That series is still to come. It's not a huge issue for the Bulldogs. I've just been so impressed, though, with this team. Look, the hitting numbers are what they are, right? They're huge. They're massive. This team is as good offensively as anybody in college baseball. Pitching-wise, since conference play started, this team has been really good. Really good. They gave up 6 runs to an Ole Miss team that can score. They gave up – Vanderbilt is the more interesting one to me. So State gives up what? 2-2-7, right? So a total of 11 runs is what they give up to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt scored, I believe it's 31 runs on LSU So let's do some quick math here. 13 plus 11 is 24 plus 9 is 33. That is correct. This weekend against Tennessee, where they sweep the Vols, they score 25 runs. But against Mississippi State, they scored 11. State's pitching, for all of our questions and concerns about State's pitching, they're figuring out how to work things. They're figuring out how to match up their bullpen. Yes, they don't have a Landon Sims, but they have guys who can go in there and get outs. You're starting to see Maddox Webb come into his own a little bit. I thought Tyler Pitzer on Friday night in Oxford was incredibly impressive. And he go back to the offseason, you know, when Pitzer was having that incredible summer up there in the Cape, we all said, well, that could end up being your closer. That could be the guy that ends up taking that role. And it didn't happen the first few weeks of the season, but then the way he pitched Friday night, I want him out there. I felt completely comfortable with the way he was pitching on Friday night in Oxford. I think that's a role he could take. But Maddox Webb, Maddox Miller, I thought, go back to last Tuesday with the way Jack Bauer pitched. Boy, if he could start figuring some things out, that could be a massive piece for Mississippi State. O'Connor talked about they tweaked some things with him. They wanted him to make sure he felt good about it. They put him out there against a good USM team, and he was good. I would imagine we'll see him tomorrow or tonight against Grambling. O'Connor told us in the interview about you listening to that Chris Billingsley will get the start, but imagine that they will want to throw a bunch of guys, and him, Bauer, Parker Rhodes, maybe Maddox Miller again. We'll see. Those are all guys I expect to see Tuesday night against Grambling. That's the thing that stood out to me, though, thus far into the season, is this team's mentality. Each and every night, they look locked in. And baseball is such a long grind. It's, 60 games before you even get to the postseason. You can have a night where you just don't feel like you're at your best. I haven't seen that from Mississippi State. I thought maybe the first couple of innings down in Hattiesburg, there was a little bit of, okay, this team, they're tired. They just played on Sunday. They had the travel issues. But they came back and they got back into that game, and they were in a position to win it. That's what stood out to me about this team at the halfway point, is this team's mentality, to me, is elite. What do I think? That's fine. Let's find out what Coach Brian O'Connor thinks. We go now to the Allura Modern Wellness Hotline. Allura Modern Wellness, if you need to recover, let's say your favorite baseball team just got swept. You're like, oh, it hurts. My chest, my back, my neck. I got tired of watching the ball fly out of the yard. What should you do? You should come to Starkville, if you're not already here, and book an appointment with my friends at Allura Modern Wellness. They will help you recover. They can get you taken care of, and they know what to do when we're talking about recovery. It's not just about the way you work. It's about the way you get your body feeling right. And if you need some stretching, if you need massage, if you need heat or cold, Allura Modern Wellness can make all of those things happen for you. Visit them online at AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of their services right there online, or you can call my friends there at 662-268-9255. Allura Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Mississippi State head baseball coach Brian O'Connor. Back on the Farm Bureau guest line, check out favorites.com and go with the home team head coach Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State baseball. Great weekend for your team, coach. I asked you about mentality yesterday after the game, and I look at this weekend. You come from behind after giving away a lead on Friday. Saturday, Sunday, both of your starting pitchers, admit it, didn't have their best stuff, but they got through it. They gave you quality starts. A guy like Sean James comes off the bench in a key moment and delivers a big hit. A guy like Kevin Malewski comes off the bench yesterday and tacks on a little insurance for you. The mentality of this team, you've coached championship teams, Omaha teams. Does their mentality match up with what you've seen in the past from your teams that have had great postseason success?
Well, it sure does at this point that we are in the season, Brian. It absolutely does. Now, we've got the meat of our schedule out in front of us as we, turn the calendar of the month over to April, and we've got a lot of great competition in front of us. But at this point, 28 games into the season, this team has absolutely shown the qualities that it takes to be a championship team. Certainly there has to be things that go right in games and all that, but these young men are making it happen. They're not waiting for somebody else to do it. And you gave some examples there, whether it be, Andrew Raymond stepping in there and starting the game and hitting the big two-run home run, and then Kevin Malewski getting in there, Sean James, the big hit to right field that was huge for us to tie the ball game. Just different guys contributing in their roles. Obviously, there's the key six or seven everyday position players that play every day and make their contributions, but then it's the Drew Wires, the Sean James, what we've done with it with the catching, different players stepping up at different times. And certainly no greater example of that than what we got out of our pitching staff this weekend.
So I wanted to ask specifically about Ben Davis. Not his night on Friday night. He lets it get away from him and gives up the lead, but comes back on Sunday and gets out of trouble a couple of times, really pitched well. As a coach, what's your message to him when you're handing him the ball there on Sunday afternoon after what had happened Friday night?
Well, the message started on Saturday morning, right? After Friday night is I've just believed as the leader of the program, the individual conversations that you have are so important. And before we got on the bus on Saturday, me spending a little bit of time, with Ben Davis, 30 seconds, 1 minute, and said, hey, it's a new day. You have to have a short memory when you pitch out of the bullpen at this level, and it's not going to go your way all the time. It's a matter of getting back on it and being ready for the next opportunity. And so, just proud of him. For whatever reason, again, they're not robots. They're not major league pitchers. They're learning. For whatever reason, he didn't have his best stuff on Friday night, and that happens. But it's a long season, and how you respond to when you don't do well is everything. And I'm just really impressed with how he responded on Sunday.
So when we talked to you Sunday afternoon after the game, Robbie Faulk mentioned the amount of runners that Ole Miss had left on base. They left the bases loaded four times in that game, and I heard you say, "Wow!" I don't know if you didn't know that stat until Robbie brought it up. This has been a thing that's a recurring thing for your team. If they get into a jam, they can find their way out of it. You guys have left a lot of guys on base. Have left your major opponents leave a lot of guys on base. Maybe it's another mentality kind of question, but why is your team so good at getting out of those jams?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I would point to a few things, Brian. It's so many things that you do, whether it be in the fall, whether it be in the winter or the preseason. You've heard me use this word before about intentionality with what you do, because the situations that they're going to be in during the season, right? And how you talk to them, how Justin Parker talks to them, right? And prepares them. And then just like I said, the little conversations that you have, or the things that you say to your team every day about what it takes to be a winner, right? And you talk a lot about those kind of situations, and that you have to look forward to them and not back down from them. And certainly there's the execution part of it to make the pitch and things like that. But that happens as a byproduct of what your mentality is. And so I'm just really confident in how we prepare these guys, how we talk to them every day to get them ready for those kind of moments. And, so many times this year, those guys have done the job of managing innings and not letting innings get out of control and making the big pitches.
I know we've talked a number of times about your fan support here at Dudie Noble Field. You've had some great crowds, but were you surprised at the amount of maroon and white in the stands yesterday, especially in Oxford?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. Obviously, the passion of this fan base, and it travels, and they just love the opportunity to see their dogs, and not shocking to me at all when you have a chance against your rival to go for the sweep yesterday, that there were a lot of Bulldog fans there supporting us and in that stadium.
So Georgia, your opponent this weekend, I know we have Grambling in the midweek before you get to that. 85 home runs on the season, almost 30 more home runs than the second place team in the Southeastern Conference right now. As you think about a pitching coach and a game plan, how do you game plan against a team that hits the ball out of the ballpark as much as this one does? Other than just say, "Hey, don't throw a fastball right over the middle of the plate," maybe.
Yeah, that's a That's a good idea right there. But
Yeah, I'll let you have it. You can have
yeah,
that.
you know, I mean, hey, Vanderbilt had a lot of home runs when they came here. Obviously, nothing like Georgia.
Their second, yeah.
That's quite impressive what they have done this year. You know, I don't know. We'll have to look at them and you know, see what the best plan of attack is to go after them. But obviously, they have some incredibly talented hitters. And you know, the key to that though is Brian is not, you know, putting guys on and giving up free 90s and walks and hit by pitches, you know, because hey, give up the solo home run. The solo home run's not going to beat you. It's the 3-run home run that beats you. So it's really managing those innings, knowing that, hey, they might get a couple, but if it's not a multi-run home run, you have a chance to overcome it.
So you're really kind of at the halfway point of the regular season right now. What's something about this team that surprised you to this point?
You know, I would just say their ability to be ready to play every day. Okay. You look across the country in college baseball, there's always teams that have a letdown in a midweek game, letdown on a weekend, whatever it might be. And, you know, we're 28 games in, and I feel like this team's been ready to play every day. And that speaks to our leadership that we have in the clubhouse. The veteran guys like Bryce Chance, Noah Sullivan, Garrett Fry, you know, right on down the list of that. Those, you know, the coaching's important, but the players, the internal pressure of the players for them being ready to play every day is impressive. And so, even, you know, yes, we have Georgia this weekend, but I know our team won't look past our opponent tomorrow in preparation for Georgia.
The guys you mentioned there are all guys who returned from last year's team. Do you feel like your newer guys, the guys who've transferred in, have assumed some leadership roles as well?
Oh, 100%. You know, I think you look at an Aiden Teal. I know a lot of guys on the team look to him for leadership. I think, you know, Ryder Woodson's grown into that a little bit. You know, Kevin Molewski getting back in there. You know, anytime you have a catcher that can help lead is important. And so, yes, I think a number of guys have. But then you also look at guys like McPherson and Duke Stone and Charlie Foster that were here last year. And then, you know, I think Tomas Valančiūnas has done a nice job as well from a leadership standpoint.
You mentioned Foster. I wanted to ask you about him because I talked to you about him the first couple weeks of the season. He was struggling a little bit. You bring him in for this Friday start. He's up against one of the top pitchers in all of college baseball. As a coach, how rewarding is that for you to say, this is a guy I had faith in, I believed in him, he made it happen. And you know, it's not a situation where you're just like, hey, I was right. It's just, it's got to feel good as a coach to say, I believed him and it came out that way.
Yeah, well, I tell you, Brian, the thing is, I'm happy for Charlie Foster. I'm happy for this team that he went out and did what he did on Friday at Ole Miss and matched up with one of the best starters in this league and really pitched great. And you know, we all saw it in him. We knew, you know, how successful he could be. And you know, I'd said this on Friday night in the interview that I had probably rushed him back at the beginning of the season, selfishly trying to make sure that he was ready for opening weekend and beyond. And he probably wasn't ready. And that said, he's starting to show what he's capable of doing, and he's going to need to continue to do that for us to have the kind of team we want to have.
All right. I'm sure it's going to be a bullpen effort on Tuesday, but have you named a starter for the Grambling game?
Yeah, Chris Billingsley is going to start for us against Grambling, and you know, and then we'll certainly chop the game up and do what we need to do to win the ball game.
Mississippi State playing Grambling on Tuesday, and then a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series against the Georgia Bulldogs. Top five matchup between the two Bulldogs in the SEC. Coach O'Connor, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Really appreciate talking to Coach O'Connor. Appreciate his time. Really good stuff from a Diamond Dog skipper. Huge weekend this weekend. Can't wait to see these games. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Don't forget these games. 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 1 o'clock are your scheduled first pitch times. Obviously, the weather could play a role in that. You know what I said earlier. What I know, you will know. Let's move into the rest of the show. We've got a positional breakdown to do for the day, and that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. We're giving Two Brothers a lot of love. Let me talk about the older brother for just a minute. I love that restaurant. That is a great, great place to eat. I enjoy it very, very much, and you will too. If you haven't tried it out yet, you are missing out on one of the best little hidden gems there in Starkville. A place that, if right now, if I dropped it into the middle of New Orleans, it would have a line. People would be wanting to eat there. It's a fantastic place to grab a sandwich for lunch, and I think I will have to go see them this week. Just talking about, I got to stop recording these podcasts before I eat lunch because I do this ad read and I'm just like, I'm hungry. So, well, we're going to get through this. Don't worry about all that. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother in the Cotton District. Next time you need to go eat, you know where to go. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Businesses, and they've been doing it for over 50 years. Oh. Well, life goes on. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new laptops or computers, whatever it is, business technology you need, Advantage Business Systems has it. And they also have the guarantee of service after the sale. If something goes wrong, you can call them directly. You can talk to them directly, and they can be out there to fix it a lot of times the same day. Why? Because they're in Mississippi just like you. Give them a call today, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co., that's the place to go. Are you looking for great Mississippi State gear here in the state of Mississippi, in the city of Starkville? The place to go is Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection, and it's not even close. Nobody stocks Mississippi State the way Maroon & Co. does. Whatever you're looking for, whatever name brand you're looking for, whatever logo or design you're looking for, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Check them out online at maroonandco.com and use our promo code in-store or online. Thunder15 takes 15% off the regular price. Or you go to your next Mississippi State game at Duty Noble Field. Make sure you've gone to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, where I will be along with Michael Borky on Wednesday, April the 8th. So that's a full day of Sports Talk Mississippi and Thunder and Lightning Live at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Part of there, we're kicking off the spring savings. Guys, don't let the weeds win. Don't let it happen. You've got to beat them back. And John Deere can be the weapon you use against that. If you're looking for a John Deere compact tractor or a commercial mower, they've got great deals, great financing, and great everything ready for you at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has something that makes the job easier or more enjoyable. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're trying to buy or sell land right now, Good Hope Land and Timber can absolutely help you with that. They are experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick call to Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're already a landowner and you're just thinking, hey, how do I manage my land, my timber? These are valuable assets. That's where Good Hope Land and Timber can absolutely be of service to you. Years of experience, and these are Mississippi State people, so you know you can trust them. Give them a call today if you are a landowner or if you're looking to become a landowner right now. 601-442-9888 or visit them on the web, g-hope.com. Find out why Good Hope Land and Timber is locally trusted and landowner approved. Linebacker is a position for Mississippi State that looks on paper like it's going to be a strength for the Bulldogs. Good returning talent there. Zachary Tillman, Tyler Lockhart, who I'm very excited about. Jalen Smith is back. You got Darian Gillette back. You've got a couple of younger players that I'm excited about in Tyshawn Willis. And not really a younger guy, but I think LaKendrick James, the guy that I think they call him Champ, I think he can be a player for Mississippi State. You have Amari Williams there at the Jack. And we've talked a little bit about this before with Williams, that State did not go out and try to find an established, no-doubt pass rush guy. And everybody says the same thing. Well, Zach Arnett loves this guy, thinks he can be a big-time player. Here's what I know about Zach Arnett and his defenses. They shine on the linebackers, right? Think about how many tackles Jet Johnson and Bookie Watson made at Mississippi State. And before that, you know, think about how good Aaron Brulé was that first year under Zach Arnett, how good Tyrus Reet was under Zach Arnett. Linebacker is a position of that the Zach Arnett style of defense will put focus on and will deliver a big time performance. I am still a big believer in Zachary Tillman. You know, he took some lumps last year, but I think and this is just me, and you're welcome to get on board with me for this, but I'm willing to almost write off a lot of what I've seen from these guys and just put it on Coleman Hutzler and just say, this was his fault. These are talented football players. They'll shine under Zach Arnett. They couldn't shine under Coleman Hutzler because he wasn't a good enough coach. I'm willing to do that. If you're not willing to, I understand. But I think that's the case. I think Tillman and Lockhart specifically are going to take massive step forwards this year. I think Tillman will be among the SEC's leading tacklers. I think Lockhart will be up there with him as well. That jack position is – honestly, if State's had gone and gotten a guy – and not that he was going to come to Mississippi State. Let's be clear about this. But a guy like Prince Will and Mammy Ellen, who, be it on the defensive line or at the jack or whatever you want to play him, somebody who I knew was a proven pass rusher, had 8 or 9 sacks last year, I would feel really good about where this defense is. I still feel okay because they have Zach Arnett. Arnett's the biggest addition to this. And I should put Matt Brock's name in there as well because he's a damn good coach. Having those two guys on staff, to me, is a huge difference maker. And the linebackers are where that's going to shine. This is, you know, look at the coaching they're getting. They've gone from Coleman Hutzler to Zach Arnett, Matt Brock, and they're bringing Jet Johnson in as one of their, you know, grad assistant guys, assistant to the assistant guys. I mean, the level of coaching these guys are going to get is much improved. Now, I like some of the depth. You know, having Tillman, Smith, Lockhart, I feel like those guys are kind of interchangeable. You know, the two of them, one of them can play the mic while the other's playing the will, and then they can switch that around. I don't think you've got guys locked into positions that way. But State needs one of these guys playing the jack, be it Williams, Gallette. If the freshman Tyshawn Willis, his numbers in high school were video game numbers defensively. Now, he's playing 1A football, but that should be the case, right? If you've got an SEC player playing 1A football, he should be putting up numbers that are unbelievable. That's what Tyshawn Willis did. That's a good sign to me. I think last year, if he had not been a late enrollee, he didn't do spring last year. If he had been there early, he might have been able to make a contribution. As it is, I'm interested to see what he does for Mississippi State this year. But this is a good group. Now, they need maybe another inside guy to step up. If that's going to be Fat Forrest, LeKendrick James, who I mentioned, I don't know. One of those two guys needs to find their way forward. I feel really good about the two inside guys. That jack position is just a concern. It's just a concern the way that they're currently constructed. But at the same time, this is one of those things where I do trust Zach Arnett. Like, the guy has come here and he's delivered, you know. In 2020, that defense, I expected literally nothing from them. And he turned them into a really good defense. And they were good defensively the 3 years he was the defensive coordinator here. And it's not like they were terrible defensively in 2023. Offense was the problem that season. So I do trust the coaching, and I trust the evaluations there. But at the same time, I do feel like Mississippi State, the same way I feel on the offensive line, that they missed out on getting that proven left tackle. They missed out here. And yes, you can like – here's the thing. You can like Amari Williams and think he's going to be a great player, but having another great player alongside him doesn't hurt anybody. So that's just a whiff. It's just a whiff in the portal. They didn't get a guy there. The thing that strikes me about it, though, is unlike left tackle where they made – you know, they had Brandon Snay – they wanted Jordan Seaton, or they made an attempt to get a left tackle. They didn't really make an attempt here. So that makes it, you know, that really puts a lot on this evaluation that you've made on Amari Williams in the limited time you saw him play at Florida State. Now, obviously, Arnett saw him every day in practice, and so he, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, I am definitely not a, well, the coaches can do no wrong guy. I'm not really even a trust the coaches guy. I've seen too many coaches screw things up, right? But Arnett is the guy who does have my trust. So it really is just wait and see, you know. The good news for Mississippi State when it comes to pass rush is you're going to know first game. Go back to the first game of the year against Eastern Kentucky in 2024. And State had, I think, one sack in that game, maybe two. And you're just looking at it like, if they can't get to the quarterback against this team, what are they going to do against SEC teams? Well, it's the same thing. You play ULM week one. You should have four or five sacks in that game. And if you don't, especially with the way Arnett blitzes, the way he's constantly getting after the quarterback, if you don't have four or five sacks in that game, that's a really bad sign. So you're hopeful that you see some pass rush. Now, it certainly won't be from lack of trying. Like I said, Arnett will scheme to get after the quarterback. Then it's on the players to do that. So Williams, I will say this. Amari Williams is a player who you could attach a win to. If he is the kind of guy that Arnett thinks he can be, if he's a true difference maker as a pass rusher, that's a guy who's going to affect things to the point where you can get wins. You know, if when you have a Montez Sweat, there are games Montez Sweat was able to win for Mississippi State because of what he did as a pass rusher. So do you have that here? I don't know. We'll find out. But also, by that same token, if you don't have it and you miss and you can't get to the quarterback, you're going to lose a game that maybe you shouldn't. You're going to have games where it's like, well, we played really well. They could not get to the quarterback, and he was able to pick them apart, and you lose. So it's key for Mississippi State in this defense, the way Zach Arnett likes to coach defense, that this position, this jack position, is a position of strength for Mississippi State. It was when he had Tyrus Wheat. Can it be with Amari Williams? That's just going to be the question we have to answer. But I feel really good about Tillman, Lockhart, and Jalen Smith. I think those three guys. Smith was a guy I expected a little bit more from him last year, but he got better as the season went along. Tillman is really good. Tyler Lockhart, I think, should be an NFL guy. He has all of the attributes you need. It's just going to be about getting production. So we'll talk about cornerbacks next week. Speaking of NFL guys, we'll talk about one of those next week when we talk corners on this podcast. Do we want to do a Rumblings with Just Me? Let's do it. Well, I'll do it. Well, I don't know though. It's not gonna, like the funny stuff isn't as funny when it's just me. Let's skip the Rumblings this week. We'll skip them for 1 week. We'll try to bring them back next week. I have some movement on the co-host front. Maybe could find something out in the next couple of days. We'll see if it goes. If I'm able to get the guy who I'm talking to, it's a very interesting add to this show and would add a dimension we haven't had before. I think you guys will enjoy it, but I don't want to go too far down the road because nothing is set in stone there yet. But we shall see. Appreciate you guys being with me here on a Tuesday. Back with you tomorrow. I know we'll have a spring football preview, I think. We're trying to line those up. So we'll have that. We'll have some more baseball talk. Plenty of stuff to talk about on tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening. Always appreciate you. This has been Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.